Today is the 25th of January, and we're going to be doing a continued Bible study. We're ready for Ephesians 5 tonight, and that's going to be Dewan and Larry, and we'll be back at the top of the hour. Okay, so I'm here with Dewan tonight, and Dewan, let's just have a word of prayer before we start. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to fellowship around your word and to study your word. We pray that you would open it to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, direct us. May your name be exalted and your word be made clear to us, we pray. And we ask this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, let's do it. I'll read the first five and then you can read the second five.
Okay. And,
we can see how it goes, where it takes us. Okay, so Ephesians 3:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you word, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So I normally really like, for example, when I read the scriptures, I like to get other scriptures which talk about the same scriptures, and scriptures trying to explain the scriptures.
Sure.
I find that way I myself get a lot of understanding out of it.
Sure.
Rather than putting my own opinion on what's actually saying. So I've gone and collected a bunch of scriptures which kind of talk about each of these verses and expand on it a little bit more, giving a different angle. And so let's go back to Ephesians 3:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So I'm going to go find some more scriptures which talk about the same thing. So first, I have from 2 Peter 1:20, where he reconfirms also, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I really like those that explanation that we should use pretty much scripture to interpret the scripture. So 2 Timothy 1:11, so again talks about Paul, where unto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then again it says in Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then we have 2 Peter 3:15-16. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. I really like that set of scriptures that Peter's talking about when he mentions Paul, because these days there's so many people who don't like Paul and what he's preaching and standing for, and we have a lot of heresies going about it. And by grace of God and by Spirit, Peter is actually mentioning Paul by his name just to reconfirm that Paul is an apostle and he wrote all these epistles. And this scripture alone pretty much puts that heresy to rest. And again, Acts 22. And I said, Lord, they know that I am, as is this Paul talking, And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that they believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment to them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And Acts 26. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we see here where Lord actually talks to Paul and reconfirms pretty much the duties that he was going to be tasked to talk to Gentiles and to go to the Gentiles. And we have another set of scriptures where Paul, Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, calls to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So if I go back to Ephesians, so that was Ephesians 3:1, just reconfirming who Paul is. Ephesians 3:2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So again, I've got a number of scriptures which reconfirm and talk about the same thing. A few of them are repetitive from the which I already mentioned, but here go. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And Galatians 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Then we have Galatians 2:8. For he that wrote effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. We have Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. This is talking to Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself a more thief of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And we have Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And Romans 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where the Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. as it is written, "Whom he was not spoken of, they shall see me, and they that have not heard shall understand." So this is clearly talking about Gentiles. And 1 Colossians 9, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." And Colossians 1:25, "Whereof I am made minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to his saints." So we can definitely see that Paul is sent by the Lord to preach the word to Gentiles. He has been assigned to be an apostle and given this dispensation of grace to in his charge to speak to Gentiles and to spread the word to them. And all these scriptures reconfirm those first two verses. Ephesians 3:3. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And the 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So let's have a look at some verses which talk about this thing. Acts 22. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out to Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." And 1 Colossians 2, "How about we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. How about we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that came to naught." Actually, I'm repeating this. "But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So this clearly tells you that this mystery, only people with the Spirit of God can understand, but not the people who have only spirit of man in them, because spirit of man, you can only understand things of man. But if you have a spirit of God, you can understand things of the spirit of God. Galatians 1:11. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Romans 11:25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, the enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." And we have Colossians 1. "Whereof I am made minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now manifest to his saints. To whom God made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then we have a Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever had, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away even that he had. Luke 8:10 also reconfirms the same. And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. We have also Ephesians 6. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Colossians 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we can see that in Jesus is all fullness of Godhead bodily. And without controversy, 1 Timothy 3. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justifying the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And Colossians 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Without prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds. So that's the Ephesians 3 and 4 reconfirmed the number by number of mystery, by number of scriptures. And Ephesians 3, 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, we got Matthew 13. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And Luke 10. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. 2 Timothy, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Timothy 1, sorry, Titus 1. Paul, servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised the world began. So we see this eternal life that was promised by God. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. 1 Peter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, and we who prophesy of the grace that should come unto you. And John 14 reconfirms this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And John 16, how about when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak on himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So this is Ephesians 3:5 also reconfirmed with the number of scriptures. What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think you did a real good job of doing your homework and finding a lot of validating scriptures. I applaud you for doing that. And this this was written about 64 AD. after the death of Christ, after his ascension. And, you know, you can get a lot of supporting evidence if you go back and read in the book of Acts, because the Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. That's what it is. And in verse 6, we read that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. There are many, many passages. I'm not going to go to all of them, but you can go back to the 13th chapter of Acts. And again, this is Paul and Barnabas. And I think this is Paul speaking here in the 47th verse. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But notice what happens as a result of this being broadcast to the Gentiles. The response was that the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Well, also, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of Christ, Jesus Christ, and I think he's referring not just to the fact that he's a bondsman of Jesus Christ, but that he is actually, much of his life, he was in chains. If we look in the 21st chapter of Acts, the 33rd verse, he says, then the chief captains came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and another, some another among the multitudes. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried. They commanded him to be carried into the castle. And Paul gives all of the different ways that he was persecuted for Christ in another place. But the fact that this tradition of men, we talked about this a little bit last time, but the chief priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, Christ didn't speak too highly of them. Because they were into the traditions of men. But yet he was given the calling, and he calls it effectual working of his power in verse 7, to bring this gospel to the Gentiles. And I'm sure that this caused, we know it did, it caused a great havoc among the Jews. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his mighty power. We see this effectual working is not just in Paul alone, but also in all of the believers. In all of God's elect. We can go back to Romans 8 again. And he says, the golden chain of salvation. I'm reading in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. There's that calling, this effectual calling. And them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So when Paul talks about the effectual calling and the effectual working of his power, he's not speaking of just the calling into ministry. He's talking about the gift of the grace of God given unto him. And by the way, that grace is given unto all of God's elect. And he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Now, we don't view the Apostle Paul as being the least of all saints, but he certainly viewed himself that way. And I think that's the way we should view ourselves in the aspect of humility. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, if we go back to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, again, Paul is the author of the book of Corinthians, and we see he says in the 9th verse, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Well, Paul was certainly a tremendous laborer in the gospel. And he authored more books in the New Testament than any other author. You know, he wrote all of the epistles, and he was very strong in doctrinal teaching. He goes on in verse 9, and he says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery," that's the mystery that Dwan was referring to earlier, "to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ." Again, if you look back in Colossians 1, it says all things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. And so, when we think about creation, we must realize that in the incarnation, Jesus Christ was born in a manger, and his father was a carpenter and chopped down the trees that Jesus Christ made. Jesus Christ created all things. Verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now, I think Guan's pretty well substantiated everything with numerous scriptures, so I'm not going to go to all these, but I'm going to give them to you, and if you want to look these scriptures up, we can do that. Acts 21:33. Acts 22:17, 1 Corinthians 4:3, Acts 10:28, 1 Corinthians 15:9, Ephesians 2:18, John 1:16, and 1 Corinthians 2:9. All of those scriptures substantiate this particular chapter as well that we're going through tonight. And then finally, in verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now, whenever the scripture refers to principalities, every time that it refers to that, it's usually in a negative connotation. And we can go back again to Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians, and we can read what the Apostle Paul says about it. And I think, looking in chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or in earth or things in heaven. So, it's good to know that that all things are under the sovereign hand of Jesus Christ, the Creator. I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you on, from, you can work through 11 through 15, Duan.
Okay. Yeah, just also I will mention a couple of verses which will confirm the creation. First Peter 3, and he said, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And Isaiah 44, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth myself. And Psalms 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So you can clearly see that everything is created through Lord Jesus, everything in heaven and earth, visible and invisible.
So, yes, and by the way, even in the first chapter of Genesis, you know, we see evidence of the Trinity there in the third verse.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light, and so on. And so we see that Holy Spirit was present there, and when God said, let us make man in our own image, again, I don't want to be too redundant, but you can see that in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. So God created man in his own image. Now, I think that refers to a Trinitarian nature. What I mean by that is man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay? You know, and so when a person dies, you know, their soul returns to God who gave it. And so I don't understand fully the intricacies of the mind and its linkage to the soul. But we do have evidence here that in the 26th verse, that God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And I think that refers to the fact that he made God a, you know, he gave him a body, a mind, and a soul. And so I just thought I'd throw that in there. Go ahead.
That's all right. And also in John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So you can see everything is made by him. And, you know, nice, very nice scripture.
Yeah.
So let's move to verse 11. according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, eternal purpose. Let's see what this eternal purpose is. Isaiah 46, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So we see his purpose here. 2 Timothy, who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And we can see also the purpose of election here at the Romans 9. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So that's another God purpose. Also we see another here in Isaiah 14. The Lord of hosts had sworn, saying, surely as I have taught, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off his shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So we can see that whatever Lord has decided, that's what's going to stand. And he's talking here about Satan. In my understanding, that Assyria is a reference to Satan, that he will break him in his land and pretty much free his people from him. So let's move on to the next verse. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So boldness and confidence. So in John 14, you see Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Romans 5, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And in Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, that's talking about boldness and access to Jesus by the faith. Ephesians 3:13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So, let's have a look at these verses. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So they're confirming that there's got to be a lot of tribulation there before we get to the end. 2 Thessalonians 3, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And Hebrews 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For when whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. And so we see that Paul has had a lot of tribulations there, but it is also expected from everybody else to go through these tribulations, which is for our glory and for God's glory. So our faith can be trialed and purified like gold and silver. And or we can be like Job and say praise the Lord no matter what is thrown at us, as long as our faith is proved and stays strong. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So let's have a look at the 14 and 15. 1 Kings 8. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication of the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Ezra 9. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So we can see that kneeling to the Lord was a custom how saints used to pray to God. Daniel 6. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did a fourth time. Luke 22. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Acts 7:60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This was Stephen. Acts 20. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Says Paul, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. And Acts 21, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. They all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And so the verse 14, where for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can see that was actually how our saints used to do it, and starts to believe that should be the way we pray to the Lord. Also, wherefore God, Philippians 2, wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And that's in reference to Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named. So, over to you, Larry.
Okay. Well, you know, as we kind of come to the end of this chapter, again, the book of Ephesians is a proclamation of the absolute power of God in all things. And, you know, one of my favorite books in the Bible, especially beginning with the 40th chapter through the 46th chapter, is Isaiah. And we're going to look at a few of those passages, but he says here in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Well, the prophet Isaiah spent a lot of time talking about this particular affirmation here, comprehending what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And he says in Isaiah 40, verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor has taught him? with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And then we know verse 22 very well. You know, we believe that the earth is a plane, but we also believe that it is a circle. Verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And then in verse 25, to whom will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? You know, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And he says in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. This is what the Apostle Paul is referring to when he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, and he goes on and he says, if we go over now just briefly in verse chapter 43. Verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord, thou created thee, O Jacob, and he hath formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overthrow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Well, he says in verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And then in verse 11, he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Well, if we go on through here, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, we can look in John, Gospel of John, the first chapter, and it talks here a little bit more about this love demonstrated by God. In the 16th verse, we read, John bare witness in Christ of him, this was he of whom I spoke, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. We talked about this before. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so when we speak of grace, we're speaking of the unmerited favor of God. Okay? And he goes on and he says, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I do not believe that we can understand fully the attributes of God and His love without understanding His judgment and His justice and His wrath, you know. And the prophet Isaiah agrees with me on that. And I'm glad to know that we are in agreement on that. He says in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, he says, now he's talking here about Cyrus, and he even refers to Cyrus as being one of his anointed. Okay. He says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, and to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of king to open before him the two levied gates. And verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches. That goes back to the mystery again. The hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, even and Israel, my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And if you want to look up some more supporting, I'm not going to take the time, but you can go back to 1 Thessalonians 4:5. There is referring to that. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there's none beside me. Now, here is how the prophet Isaiah describes the nature and the attributes, and if you even want to say the personality of God. He says, I am the Lord, and there's none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now you can go to Amos 3:6, where it also refers to, where it says, is there not evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? That's what that says there in Amos 3:6. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. And then he goes into what I call a parallel passage with Romans 9, because it says the same thing. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Now he goes on and he says in verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. Okay? Now, I'm going to jump over. I'm covering a lot of ground in quick order, but if we jump down to verse 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Okay, and then if we jump over to Isaiah 46, he says, in verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Okay. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with Ephesians 3? And I say it has everything to do with it. Because he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages and without end. Now, we can look in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and let's just look at that briefly. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, well, first let's look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of the world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of the man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so, this is the Spirit of revelation to his elect. And then, you know, I love, it gives me great solace when I get discouraged. I love the last two verses in the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So that kind of brings us to the end of the third chapter of this glorious book of Ephesians. And I'm going to let Dewan make any final comments before we close out tonight.
Yeah, some great scriptures there, Larry, yeah. And clearly shows that God is in charge of everything. For example, if you take Psalms 115, he also reconfirms, but our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased.
Yes.
So everything what's happening, it's whatever is pleasing the Lord. And also about our strength, that Philippians 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Psalms 28, the Lord is their strength and his saving strength of his anointed. And Psalms 138, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength of my soul. And you also cover some, a lot of good scriptures about Lord strengthening his people.
Yes.
And so we really have nothing to worry about. And Zechariah 10, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. And in Matthew 6, we have the prayer, and which he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever, ever. Amen.
Amen.
And then for the last verse of 21, talking about unto him be glory, we can say 1 Chronicles, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And Psalm 72, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Psalms 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And the last one, Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that's my last comments.
Amen. Yes, and you know, I'm going to conclude this with reminding us of John chapter 17, verses 2. You know, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we're serving a almighty God who is in total control. And like Juan says, we don't have anything to worry about. Perfect love casteth out fear. We're not to live in fear. And I've enjoyed this time together, Dewan, and I hope that the people that hear these scriptures get as much solace from them as we get from them. Okay. And anyway, I hope you have a good remaining week, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday, and we'll probably see you before then. But on the fellowship calls or whatever, but it's good to be with you tonight. So it really worked out pretty good. We just went just a little over an hour. So
that's pretty good. That's right about a good timing anyway.
So thank you much, and good Lord be with you.
Yeah, with you too. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Good night.
Good night.